that acupuncturist out of Puerto Rico? 26. I'll tell you, this broad, her ass was the second coming. I never wore panties. Brush the teeth with this shit. Every night she'd drink me under the fucking table. I'd eat her out when I was down there.
Hey, Push. She even really exist?
Yeah, I'm just trying to make sense of what I've written down. Big episode, last episode.
Are we going?
Let's just jump in, you know, it's just whatever.
Okay.
Let's just get in.
It's great. I mean,
there's no format. Let's just do it.
It's hard to tell between your preamble waffling and when you're actually in the show sometimes.
Oh, right. So. It's all waffling. It's all preamble.
No, true. But anyways, welcome back to Sopranos Redefined. Big episode. It is the season finale for season 2, episode 13, entitled Funhouse. Do you want to know when this originally aired?
I do. Yeah. Funhouse.
I've got the notes right here. It originally aired on April 9th, 2000.
Wow.
This was a while ago. It was like 22 years ago. And a little synopsis that I personally wrote. I didn't just rip this from IMDb. Ooh. States, Tony's food poisoning leads to fever dreams, which has him facing the truth about nagging concerns regarding pussy that he can no longer ignore. It's pretty good, eh?
Yeah, it's pretty good, yeah. How long did that take today?
Like I said, you know, one of the reasons I was so tired was that I was stressing out.
Oh, right, yeah.
Trying to put that together, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, I said a while ago, I always say, you know, as I said a while ago, or as I said from episode yada yada yada, I don't mind the show doing these dreams. And I always said that, will there come a time? I was concerned that there may come a time where it crosses the line and it goes too much into them. And I'm not sure if we've reached that point where we've crossed over. And it's gone.
I was going to ask you about the dreams.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you what you thought about it. I personally thought this was well done. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed him kind of, like I stated, in the having a fever dream, him trying to figure out exactly what's going on with that, you know, nagging thing that was bothering him. But yeah, we can get into the dreams. But I mean, this was... they always try to do a lot with these, you know, season finales and have big moments. And we did have big moments. I didn't feel like there was too much going on. It felt like the majority of the episode focused on the resolution to the pussy story. And what were your thoughts on that? Were you satisfied with the ending? Did you think it went the way you thought?
Yeah, it went the way I thought it was going to go. Yeah, that was fine. And I said that the last episode felt more like the season finale. Was it the last? Yeah, it would have been, yeah. With Richie dying
with
and
Richie
Janice leaving
down, yeah.
And then Tony at the end, left by himself, crap on his face. He's had a tough day, tough evening. That felt like the season finale. That was like, oh, you know, do you know what? If it ends now, that's okay. That makes sense. So to have this extra episode to round off Pussy's story, fine, it makes sense, of course. Let's get rid of him before season 3 starts, but it worked out about right. He was always going to go, that makes sense, and how they did it was fine, yeah. Go out to sea, dump him out there, have the emotional-ish goodbye. That was pretty well done.
It was different than some of the other whackings that we have come across so far, right? You could tell it was hard for them. I mean, Silvio actually had to walk out of the room, if you will, to gather himself. And then they, like, when do you think Pussy knew he was in a bad way? Like, was it, you know, when the moment was they pushed him in the corner and said, you know, you got some splaining to do? Or, because, you know, as a viewer, we obviously know what's going on, but it was a weird vibe, right? Do you think he was like, okay, shit, the jig is up? Because he didn't put up much of a fight once they started to corner him, you know?
Yeah, you don't know. So I lost a bit of, well, I think Pussy lost a bit of credibility the episode before with this whole FBI thing. So before that, you would say Pussy's, you know, he sort of switched on and he kind of gets what's going on around him. But after that episode, it seems like Pussy's sort of completely lost his mind. So I would say he maybe sort of had an idea before he even got on the boat. As Tony's sick and as they're driving off and they're not really giving him a lot of information about what they're doing, you would think a guy like Pussy, he's been around the block a few times. This isn't really normal. No one's really explaining what we're doing. It's all hush hush. Like, oh, we're just seeing a boat randomly. All right, okay. Mm-hmm. No more information. But because he seems like he's so far gone by this point, I'm assuming that he didn't quite twig what was going on until he got on the boat, went down below, and then got asked to sit down. And then it's like, oh, okay. We're having a chat. Yeah, what are we talking about? Oh dear. Oh no. So, yeah.
You know, and he tried for a bit to be like, it's not a big deal. I wasn't giving them anything that... you know, they can hold against you. It's like I, you know, I'm playing both sides. But even that didn't last very long, right? Even that, he realized, you know what? I think the jig is up. Do you guys want to have a drink? And just sort of resigned to his fate, if you will, and even kind of sad in a way when he was, you know, he kind of gets up, walks away because he gives that little story to kind of, you know, lighten the mood about the young acupuncturist that he saw when he was off in his little sabbatical, and everyone kind of had a laugh, and then Tony calls him out on it. He's like, yeah, was that, like, are you just fucking bullshitting us? What are you doing? He's like, okay, well, I've dragged this out for as long as I can. And he has that weird line of, you know, it's like, not in the face, eh, guys? You know, like, you know, at least give me that respect. You know, it was an interesting scene. It was, I don't even know how to explain it. Like, it was hard for them. It was just hard for them because this guy was obviously very important to all of them. And for him to turn was tough for them to reconcile.
Yeah, I'm just not sure that how the episode was structured with the dreams being centerpiece, that it did lose a bit of its shine, this ending. Because you had all this dream stuff for 75% of the episode. And I know Pussy and the reveal from the fish is included in that, where Tony's like, oh God, okay. We get the idea that Tony secretly, deep down, knew the whole time, or has known for a long time, that Pussy is an informant and he's a rat and all this, and seeing the fish and confirmed his suspicions, and he was like, oh God, okay, I've got to admit it, he is. By the time we get to them killing Pussy and the goodbye, I'm not sure the tone of the episode really sets us up or set me up for me to go, oh, that's tough. This is tough. This is tough viewing this, watching them say goodbye to Pussy. Oh, I really feel their emotion. I think maybe just because the episode with these feverish dreams was a little bit on the silly side, even though they, like you said, they were done very well. By the time we actually get to the real world again and Pussy dies, and this has been a big build up, and I think by this point for me, I was like, all right. I'm ready for Pussy to go. So maybe, again, going back to the episode before with him losing his mind with the FBI stuff, any sort of affinity I had towards Pussy had gone. So I was like, yeah, okay. It lost me by this point with Pussy leaving.
Yeah, the big shift.
Yeah.
The big shift that took place in the previous episode was jarring, because everything up to that point was pretty well done. And I think we touched on it last episode. It's kind of like they just ran out of time and they're like, okay, we need a resolution to this. And I mean, there was some good stuff. There was some good stuff in the, I wanted to ask you, in the earlier part of one of the dreams, when Tony's walking on the boardwalk, Junior just kind of pops up, in a window. I was like, is that a, like, would that classify as mincing? Is he mincing in the back there?
There's got to be more movement of the whole body. It's got to be more moving. Okay. He's got to have the arms waving a little bit. We've got to see the whole body. But it was
I love that scene.
Yeah, it was a very mincy-esque sort of in and out.
Okay. Mincy adjacent.
Yes, okay. Yes. But it was it was very good actually. Yeah, yeah. It was the dreams were good. They're all good. It was just, did we need that for the last episode? That's what I was sitting. I was sitting here throughout. I was just thinking, like, do I want this for the season finale? Do I want to see these dreams? They weren't. It just felt like it was maybe slightly out of place for where we were at that point. And I would have preferred, with the whole pussy thing, if we, as the audience, we weren't quite sure what was going on. So it just seemed like they were going out for a day out on the boat. And we were like, oh, okay, right, fine, yeah, okay. No suspicion still. And then all of a sudden, it's not unexpected to be like, oh, shit. Oh, he does know. Uh-oh. And then they kill pussy. So it's a little bit of a shock. You're not quite expecting it to end that way. Or they go on a boat trip, yeah. They go out, they come back, and they're like, yeah, that was a nice day out. Oh, by the way, pussy, we know. Oh, shit. Something like that.
But they got I don't think we would have been able to accept that, because the only way they would have been able to do that is have it play out like you said, and then there would just be a series of flashbacks of how Tony found out, right? Like, oh, he talked to this guy, or this guy said, hey, you know, he found a wire on pussy. So instead, I thought the way they set it up was like, the episode starts off, other than just that funny little scene with Livy, where it's kind of like the what do we do with her now, between him and Barbara, I think is his other sister's name. Yeah. And then after that, it's kind of like, I think Tony even says it, is like, things are good right now, right? Like, Richie Aprile's out of the way, we've got this new business deal, you see him and Pussy sitting at the table, we get introduced to the calling card scam. And he's like, yeah, this is great. Everything's great. And that's usually when the bottom falls out. And I thought in that moment, Tony kind of gave Pussy a little look, where they're sitting at the dinner table and Furio's like, you know, what's this calling card about? And Pussy just kind of goes into like heavy detail about it. And Tony just kind of gives him a look, right? He's like, huh, that's weird. Okay, well, we'll move along. And then you got those little nuggets and just that fear of like just waiting for the other shoe to drop. Then you get the fever dream, and it's just kind of like, it all kind of just sort of clicks for him in that.
Yeah. But it's just, you know, I guess for me that we find out that, or Tony comes to the realization or confirms his worst nightmares from a fish in a fever dream that Pussy is an informant. So it's like, right. Okay. And it's like, it works because it's the show. It's the humor's very good. It's always well written. But the look that you're referring to, do you think the look was he knows? Because I wasn't really aware that Tony, the fish confirms what I didn't actually know. I didn't actually feel that Tony had much idea. He was suspicious because he's you know spoken about it at the start of season two. But I didn't really think that Tony definitely knew, and he was just wrestling with it in his head, and he was like, oh god, no, it can't be true, and I know it's true. And because Pussy mentions the whole, oh no, sorry, the fish as Pussy mentions the whole, oh Tony, I know you knew, because you passed over me for promotion. So I knew that you knew, and we've just kept dancing around the matter and we've not really spoken about it. But and that was back in the start of season two, so we meant to believe that the whole time Tony deep down knew what Pussy was up to, but he just, because they were friends, they'd known each other for a long time. I don't know if he was like, oh, maybe we can fix this. Maybe Pussy can come to me and admit this, and I don't know, we can do something about this. Or he was just delaying the inevitable of eventually having to do this killing and whacking Pussy.
I think at the end of the day, we can say is, for all the build up, maybe they didn't stick the landing on the final resolution to that storyline. And being thrown off by the dream sequence was just kind of like, yeah, no, okay, that's fair enough. I appreciated aspects of it, but I can see how it kind of came off a little awkward, for lack of a better term.
Yeah, it was the dream stuff's good. It was well set up. It was just, for me, I'm just struggling with having that as the season finale. Summing, you know, wrapping up this whole storyline, as opposed to just having that in halfway through or something to that effect, where it's just one of those episodes that, which is a filler. They do something a little bit different, so they, you know, they go on holiday or they go to a different location. They have this, and you're like, oh, okay, that was a bit different. So, you know, sets the tone for the rest of the season, maybe. Oh, okay, that makes sense. I'm okay with that. Yeah, just having that as the last one, it was like, okay, good, but maybe misplaced.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah, maybe they did kind of rush to the finish overall, but yeah, what else can we touch on as far as the season finale, which kind of feels like it's it got a really high rating. I'll be curious to know what you rate it. I think you're affecting my perspective on it a bit, which is good. That's why it's, you know, fun talking about it, right?
And yeah, getting exactly.
The difference.
Hearing from Ben half asleep
almost redefining it.
Well, that's what we do. It's what we do best.
Exactly.
I'm ending this season as I started it, half asleep, just redefining it. It's great.
Another thing I thought was kind of interesting, I picked it up maybe more on the second watch when I was doing my notes, but Carmela's kind of shallow, eh? Like, you know, you think about how pissed off she was with everything that was taking place with Tony and his mistress, and how she's like, you know, like, by the way, like, I'm taking off to Rome once Meadow graduates, and there's clear tension between her and Tony. But he comes waltzing in with that Tony charm and, oh, hey, here's a fur coat. And she's just putty in his arms again, right?
Yeah. Yeah, that goes into the whole struggle that I probably have with Carmela. And I say struggle. It's not really a struggle. It makes sense. It's not, her character's not really annoying, or it doesn't make sense what she's doing and how she behaves. And I understand that she's just reached a point in her life, or it's just been a build up of Tony being Tony and her marriage and the kids and everything else, that naturally you get to a point where stuff just creeps up on you and you have a breakdown, or you just can't handle it anymore. So you do something wild, or you do something crazy, or you need a reset. And I guess that's just what it is. That's what we've got to treat it as. It's nothing more than just a bit of a reset, rather than Carmela's like, no, do you know what? I'm turning a page here. Things are changing, Tony. Yes, I'm going on this trip, and, you know, maybe I will have an affair, and you got to treat me better and get rid of that Russian and all this. And, you know, you got to concentrate on me and the marriage. I think she's just had a bit of a reset. And now it's like, yeah, okay, yes, back to normal. The marriage can begin, can start again, yada, yada, yada. And that's what happens, isn't it? You have an argument, things go wrong. You're like, oh, God, that's, how are they going to come back from that? Oh, dear, how's that going to play out? Oh, well, he just bought her a nice fur coat. Oh, okay. There we go. Yeah. We're back to square one again. Yeah. Lovely. She's happy. Tony's happy. Everyone's happy. That's great.
No, fair enough. Polly had a couple of great moments in it. One of them wasn't directly with him in the scene, but we find out, even though it was a fever dream, Tony's talking about how Polly annoys him and everything. And one of the things he does is he's one of those guys that sends out those family update Christmas cards to everybody.
Progress reports.
I can't see Polly sitting down and giving a recap of everybody's year. I thought that was kind of funny. And his other one was when they were on the boat and, you know, Pussy's kind of giving up the information on everything that he's told them. And he's like, you know, I told him about the calling cards. And Polly's like, I wasn't in on that. Like, that's not me. They can't tie me to that. It's like, oh, dude, you know, control your excitement for half a second there, right?
Yeah, so that's with the whole Pauly thing. That I thought that was quite interesting in the dream, because I don't know how. Well, you have to look at these dreams, because I think it's hard to look at the dreams and not feel like there's a meaning behind them. I looked at them and thought, oh, maybe they're just dreams, and it could be that. But the whole, you know, Freud and all this sort of stuff, and I don't know if Chase is into Freud and all this. I don't know, maybe, but. For example, you've got the stuff like with Paulie when he's looking through the binoculars and he's having the card game with Paulie and then he shoots Paulie. Is that, does that link in with him and his relationship with Paulie and compared to Pussy? Because I've always sort of had the, I've always, it's always for me, it's always felt that Tony and Paulie's relationship is based on work. Yes, they're family and stuff, but I think Tony and Pussy's relationship was very different. They were quite close.
They were tight.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Tony and Paulie's relationship, even though it's fine, it's good, it works, they don't really have much fallings out as such, but Tony doesn't really have the affection towards Paulie as he does Pussy. So that dream, if we're trying to interpret it in some way, is he shoots Paulie, and they're playing cards, and whatever that means, but deep down he wishes the rat, or if he could, he would switch them around, and he's praying, and he's delayed this realization for as long as possible that Pussy's the rat, because he was like, oh God, why can't it be Paulie? Are you sure it's not Paulie? I wish it's poorly. Is that, mate, that's maybe what I gained from that bit. I'm sure there's other stuff.
Yeah.
The whole card game probably meant something, and dealing hands and, you know, God knows, all sorts. But I just feel like their relationship is very different, Tony's and Paulie's, compared to Tony and Pussy's.
No, I think that's a fair statement. I couldn't really pick up what that signified. I don't know if it was tying into what was going on with Pussy or just him visualizing his frustration in the most extreme way with Paulie at times, right? Like, he's like, sometimes this guy says stuff and I just want to shoot him. But it was tough to say. It was, you could spend hours trying to break down what each interaction meant. To be honest with you, sometimes I get lost in those artful visuals, that form of storytelling. But overall, I'm like, okay, yeah, this is Sopranos. This is a part of what takes place in the show. Humor mixed with, you know, some deeper things. And I did enjoy the conversation with the fish. I liked the delivery and the tone that Pussy was conveying through the fish's mouth. And then his last line was like, hey, you see these guys on either side of me? They're sleeping, right? Like, you know, sleeping with the fishes and all that. And you're like, and that sort of epiphany that he's like, shit, okay, I have to confront this. And then they did. But it's tough to talk about the dream sequences without kind of just going in circles. But, you know, after the Pussy thing, I think everything after that, even though there's the big event with Livy getting busted with those fraudulent airline tickets and how that leads to Tony's arrest, everything after Pussy's demise was sort of, let's just hurry up and maybe tie up some loose ends to wrap the season up. Anything you want to go over in detail with the other ends there?
This is the problem. This is what I'm getting at with this episode. It's just most of the, you know, the three quarters of the episode was based around these dreams. And I feel like the dreams were quite interesting, but I don't really want to, at this point, for a season finale, start really delving into the dreams. Halfway through the season, or a couple of episodes back, I'd be like, right, okay, you know, let's start looking into these dreams, Dan. You know, what do you think of this? What did this and this mean? For the last episode, I'm just, it's interesting and they're well done, but I want to just talk about other stuff. I want to talk about the characters and what they're doing and how, and Pussy a bit more, and where's Tony heading, and, you know, Christopher, I guess, or he's getting his button, or, you know, that's fine. Okay, that's setting up for what he's going to happen. And we see Davey at the end and he looks just terrible and he's off and he's off to a farm or something in Mexico, wherever he's going. So again, Tony, just no interest. Just, oh, Tony, I'm off doing this. And yeah, you should come out sometime. We can have some fun. Yeah, Dave, yeah, all the best. Yeah, see you later. Yeah, ruin your life. Your marriage is in the bin. Yeah, your son's going to state college. Yeah, whatever. See ya.
I sort of took it that way. And again, like, as far as Tony's concerned, he's got no hard feelings towards Davey. He's like, whatever, man. Like, you're a degenerate gambler, and I feed on people like you. The part that I thought was interesting where, you know, sit there having a little chat with him, and he's, like you said, he's going to go to New Mexico and work on a ranch. And he's like, hey, you know, it's a short plane ride to Vegas. Just come down and have some fun. I thought Tony looked at him as like, Jesus Christ, man.
Yeah.
Can you not see that the choices that you make have led you to this awful, awful spot in your life? Where he was just kind of like, whereas before he's kind of like, he's like my buddy. We went to, you know, school with each other. But maybe he always kind of had like a little bit of a affection for him in a way. And at that moment, he's just like, I'm kind of done with you. I've literally used you up for everything that I can, you know, squeeze out of you. You know,
he's a lost cause, isn't he, as well? I'm sure maybe if he approached Tony in a different way and he was talking about doing different things, you never know. You know, I'm sure Tony would maybe go, oh, do you know what, Davey? You've had a bit of a bad run. Here's 10K. Go and do something with that. Do you need a deposit for a flat or something? Here's a couple of grand, you know. I know you've had a bit of a shit time of it. But because it's all like, oh, Tony, Vegas, hey, woohoo. Oh, this guy never learned. No, yeah, maybe, yeah. Have a good one, Davey. It's just, I guess, with those sort of people, it's like, well, what do you do with them? And look, Tony's the guy who's not helped the situation by ruining his business after he lost all the money at the poker game. But Tony's just got bigger things to worry about, hasn't he? He's just got better things to worry about. And someone who's just a loser, who just keeps doing the same thing over and over again, he's just like, yeah, all the best. Have a good one. But this is the thing. I'm not really quite sure what else really happened away from the... I know, obviously, Pussy, but what happened away from the dreams that was a big thing, or that, other than little bits dropped in with Christopher getting his button, as I said, that sets up season 3, I'm guessing, and beyond. And I'm trying to think of if anything else. We got another dream sequence with Melfi, which I think summed up there, her and Tony's interactions. It was just, we had the dream sequence, and then we had one right at the end as well, I think, in the real world.
Yeah, it wasn't a dream sequence. Yeah. And she sort of challenged him again on his relationship with his mother. Yeah. And she sort of, I don't know if this would be appropriate, but she sort of gets her jam back, where she's like, I've let you slide on too much stuff because I was afraid of you. I don't remember if she says, I'm not afraid of you anymore, but, you know, like, hey, I'm going to move past my own stuff and try to get back to what this is all about, which is trying to treat you and trying to help you through your issues, which he's obviously not receptive for, to. And he's, handles himself much like he does when he is pushed into a corner. He acts like a child. You know, he throws his feet up on the table there, and kind of, he looks like a kid who's in trouble with his parents, who's just like, yeah, whatever. Yeah. You know, you're not the boss of me, and walks out again. So for me, I'm kind of, I lost interest in the Melfi stuff throughout this season. There are certain things I remember coming up that I get reengaged in, that I'm like, oh yeah, I like this particular moment and this particular moment. But it was weird. Melfi, throughout season 2, you kind of look at her as like, hey, you're kind of, Like, what are you doing? You're getting something out of this that's not healthy, and it's clearly having a negative effect on you. I don't know why you're in it, and that didn't play as big of a role in this season as it did in season 1. So I'm just kind of with them at this point. What about you?
Yeah, no, I was completely underwhelmed by pretty much every session they had throughout the season, and I think maybe doing this right at the end hopefully sets up more interesting interactions between the two characters. I know for half the season she was away, and we were, that's it, she's done, they're never going to talk again. And then we got Melfi, and she comes back and she's struggling. And that's what Tony does, though, doesn't he? He just leaves all these people in his wake, all these people in his life that he's got around him. He just sort of brings them down to just shells of their former selves. And yeah, most people have got their own issues, which are extrapolated by Tony's influence and Tony's input in their life. But he's just that's what he does. He just does it, and then whoever he does it to may go, look at the state I'm in. And Tony just sort of shrugs his shoulders and goes, get on with it, like I do. Yeah, but it was underwhelming. It was completely underwhelming. But I'm hoping that was sort of the point. Maybe it was just because Melfi's awkward and she's coming back and she's struggling with it and she's making herself unwell. And Tony's just like, sort of shrugging his shoulders throughout the season in terms of his interaction, because it's the tables have turned, haven't they, where she's there, she needs Tony more than he needs her. So maybe going forward that's going to come back to a bit of a neutral ground where they both sort of need each other again, so it's going to be a bit more interesting, maybe.
Yeah, well, we'll have to see what we get moving forward. So I think the only other thing that I thought, again, like you're talking about Tony leaving just a terrible, devastation in his wake, was I thought it was a great little montage at the end, cross-cutting between Meadows' graduation party and how the Sopranos are prospering, intercut with, you see the Webistics office is shuttered, right? All those people are out of a job because they're done with the stock market scam. You see the guys wandering around with the calling card scam, and they're selling these calling cards to people that are going to be useless probably within, a couple of days. You get another callback to the motel that were run by the Hasidic Jews, and it's just a flop house now, right? And then you see Tony there, big family picture. They're, you know, toasting to champagne and all their success. And yet it's they have that success and that prosperity, you know, built on the backs of, you know, a lot of people suffering.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is, isn't it? It sums up Tony's influence and business and people and what happens when basically Tony Soprano gets involved. It all goes to shit. Mm-hmm. And no, I think it was well done. Yeah, it was nice. It was pretty much symbolized that for Tony anyway, life moves on. All this devastation that he's left, it's like, yeah, okay, I'm sure everyone's doing okay. I'm getting on with it. Oh, look, Meadows graduating. Oh, this is lovely. But he's got the old FBI thing hanging over his head, so he's got that to worry about. So it's very much, he's very self-contained, Tony, isn't he? It's very much, I've got my own problems. I don't really care what everyone else is doing around me. I don't really care about my influence. I've got my own thing going on. That's that. So yeah, it was ended well. It was ended well. It was just odd because it was dotting between various things and you're like, oh, okay, so they've moved on. This is the new scam. And it just was life moves on for Tony and the gang and we'll see what happens with everyone else.
It's tough because I was kind of cool on this episode and then listening to you talk about it, I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, I can kind of see how this would sort of land flat, especially after last episode. So much happened on that last episode. A lot of good stuff, a lot of, you know, big moments that you didn't see coming, unlike what you were talking about with the execution of Pussy. It was like you knew it was coming to an end. There was no mystery involved, which makes for a good show in some ways because of what we saw, to Richie Aprile and the fact it was Janice that took him out. So that part was kind of great, and everything else was just kind of like, yeah, it was there, you know, yeah. Oh shit! I was gonna start talking about. I started watching episode one of season three.
Oh, no.
I was gonna start touching here, on this other stuff. I was like, oh wait a minute, that didn't happen yet. That didn't happen yet. But I know. I try to avoid that. But I guess we're kind of running out of talking points. I guess.
Well, it's tricky, isn't it? Because if we can keep talking, but we're gonna have to talk about the dreams because that was the centerpiece of the episode. So.
No,
there's lots to delve into the dreams, but it's just basically, do you want to or not? Because, and also it's open to interpretation, like we've said. So it'd be interesting to see what you thought of it and compared to what I think of it. But it's like, I don't know. It's I just don't want to at this point, really. I'm half asleep anyway, which doesn't help, but I'm not prepared to go, right, here's my paragraph. Right. This is what I thought of this bit. What do you think of that, Dan?
It's not my wheelhouse.
No.
It's not my wheelhouse to kind of break down those, like I said, artful, dreamlike storytelling devices. It's not something I do well. So, do you want to get to the scores then? I mean, IMDb gave this a 9.4 out of 10. For me, I think that's pretty high, especially coming off of what we got with episode 12. For me, I'll give it a solid 8. I think, we got the resolution of what happened with Pussy and kind of setting the stage for what's going to take place moving forward. I thought as far as season finales go, it was pretty good.
I'll give it an 8. Just.
Okay.
It's just placement. Barely.
Give it a 7.9, be different.
It's just placement. I could say 7.5, but it's not a bad episode. It's a very good episode. It's just for me, it's the placement, having this as the season finale. That's what I'm struggling with. If it was two episodes back or even episode 12, I would probably go, do you know what? Yeah, because it is very well done. The dream stuff's really interesting. The resolution with Pussy was done reasonably well. The montage at the end, flashing back over the season and setting up maybe what's happening in season 3 and everything else. So it's all done really, really well. It was just, for me, the placement and just leading on this whole feverish dream stuff maybe didn't quite work. The episode itself
They easily could have swapped episode 12 for episode 13 and it probably would have been much more satisfying with just a couple of little changes here and there.
Yeah.
So Excuse me. So yeah, I think we're both kind of, you've pulled me over to your side, and I'm tending to agree with you. Now, I was reading on the notes. I know we don't do a lot of trivia here, but apparently this was the last thing that Nancy Marchand, who plays our favorite gal, Olivia, shot for The Sopranos. I remember that there was some sort of a goofy CGI. I don't know if that's something that they shoehorn into season three, but her character at this point, there's no resolution. And I don't remember what they do to deal with her passing and with that character. So hopefully we'll find out soon. And they don't try to use too much archival footage or anything like that to move her along in the next season. But this is it for her. This is her last, the last thing she filmed. And I don't know much else that she was in. This was what really put her on the map. And what a way to go out with such a memorable character.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I was concerned that I wasn't going to get any Olivia in season two. So I know she passed away in and around this time.
I think we talked about that when season one wrapped up.
Yeah, I thought that was it. Like, oh. I was mourning her by that point. I was like, oh, well, yeah. And you mentioned this dodgy CGI, so I was like, oh, Jesus. So I just assumed that was all we were going to get in season two, just here and there. She pops in, dodgy CGI. It's like, oh, okay, great. That's muddying the memory of Olivia for me. Great. But no, we got plenty of her in season two. So, and some of her, and you know, there was a couple of bits for where it was some of her best stuff as well. It wasn't just season one was obviously fantastic, but there were certain bits with her coming down the stairs and her stair lift, and there were certain moments in season two where it was like, oh yeah, that's peak Olivia. That's good. So,
but that that last scene that she had in episode 12, where her and Tony confront each other, and she just plays all the hits with you know, touching on their you know, their weaknesses, and then playing the sympathy card, and that moment where Tony's rattled and trips down the stairs, and her in the midst of her crying can't contain herself but laughing at him. I thought that was just such an amazing scene. And, you know, she's classic, you know, Livy in the start of this one. But, yeah, it's too bad that she's not going to get a proper exit to the show, just due to the fact that she passes away, which is a shame.
A CGI exit. Poor Livy. Yeah, she doesn't deserve
exactly
that.
Right.
But, no, I'm glad they got that bit at the end, because season two, it's very much feeling sorry for Olivia. We get enough of her to go, oh yeah, no, she's still there. You know, people visit her in the hospital, and we get enough of her, of Janice, going, oh yeah, yeah, no, she's still pretty grim. But having that interaction with Tony at the end was good. And again, that goes into episode 12. It's like, yeah, this is it. Have that. Not the plane tickets, and that's how we end the relationship. It's like, okay.
Yeah,
I liked it when Tony fell over. That was way better, because that summed her up nicely. Because we end with Livia sort of, oh, Tony, help me, you give me these tickets. And it's, you get, sort of go, oh, you get what you deserve, Livia, you know, poor you.
Yeah.
But Tony's still at the end helping her, and yeah, it's his mother and stuff. But the real ending was her laughing at Tony falling over. That's Livia right there.
Yeah, I think we can agree that as we've never had a dud episode really to this point, but this season finale suffers for the fact it followed episode 12. And episode 12 was I can't remember what we rated it, but I believe I gave it at least a 9. And this one was just not that. And you know what? It can't always be that. I think of other TV shows like The Walking Dead. And I used to love The Walking Dead. I think I gave up after 6 seasons or whatever. But like so many, you know, good shows, they have a lot that they like to pump out for those mid-season finales or season finales. So it gets to the point where you're expecting it, and it becomes difficult to top yourself, right? It becomes difficult to constantly, you know, outdo what you've done before. And maybe that was the point of this one. Maybe they weren't trying to outdo themselves. And they're just like, hey, these are story, these are story points that we have to wrap up. This is how we're going to do them. You know, there's not to, there's no shock and awe but this is what happened, and then we'll see where this goes forward.
Yeah, look, it sounds like we're being very critical of it, and it's just because it's such a good show, isn't it? That's all it is, really. There's not much to. It's still a great episode in many ways.
No, yeah,
it was just well, that's the thing. I always feel bad, you see. So we go off, and I sort of think about what I'm saying. I'm like, oh, but hang on, you know, I don't really mean it. I still really like the show, so you know, I'm not trying to criticize.
No, but we're not comparing this to other shows out there. We're comparing it against itself, and when it is, running on all cylinders, it is one of the best TV shows out there. And we're only through two seasons. Four more to go, buddy.
Uh-huh. And, yeah, thanks for saying that. That's really woken me up this morning.
There's a lot more highlights ahead than there are low points. So, with that, man, is there anything else you want to talk about season two? Any other episodes or highlights from previous episodes that you want to touch on?
Yeah, well, there's plenty. I think I probably have to have a think about it, really. Maybe sort of start off season three with sort of a 10-minute segment of just highlights of season two. I know we did
it. I don't know if I want to do that.
No?
We didn't discuss this, so I'm not really interested.
Well, we did it on the fly last time on the end of season one.
This was your opportunity. I'm sorry you didn't prepare for it. Yeah, that's not really my fault.
Sorry, I want to do it justice because I'm sure there's plenty of that.
Season three is about season three.
Oh.
So.
Okay, well, we're getting no wrap-up this season then. Season one, we had a wrap-up of sorts on the fly, which was quite good. I think it was just Livia. It was loads of just Livia chat.
It was just Livia. Yeah. Who's your favorite character? Livia.
Yeah, Livia. Favorite moment, Livia. All of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe we can try to put a produce segment in memoriam of all the people we lost.
Oh, yeah. That could work.
Put a little production value into that. But it's too late for me and too early for you to get into that right now. But anyways, so what we're going to do is, we're going to take a month off to prepare for season three, get some shows in the can so we can deliver them weekly. Anyone who's stuck with us, and you're enjoying what you hear, please feel free to reach out to us on the Twitter at SopranosRE, or you can reach out to us individually. I'm at Dan Mackoltz. You want to give yours?
Well, it's the mystery. I like people just reaching out, just having to really spend a lot of time searching for me.
Okay.
Makes it worth the wait, I feel.
Okay. Has anyone done that yet, or
not as of recording? No. Okay. But
they will.
Well, it's gonna happen. The amount of great content I've got lined up for everyone, they're going to be really spoiled. So will.
We got dozens and dozens of followers.
Yeah, so. You called it the Twitter.
I stole that from you. From.
It was
from
on purpose,
Fiona.
Right? Okay, yeah, that's not great. Yeah, I'd prefer if we just kept it professional on this episode.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No. Sorry. But anyways, I guess that's it for us. And as you know, we're wrapping up season two and moving into season three. Sopranos. This is a really good show.
It is. It is a good show. Very good.
All right. Talk to you guys later.
Cheers.